I'll begin by reading it. Rather lengthy to read chapter, but it won't be so bad, I think, when we go through it. You'll see. And it came to pass, verse 1, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said to him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God has heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said to them, Thus shall ye say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words of that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And he heard say concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, He has come forth to make war with you. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard that the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezin and the children of Eden, which were in Telazar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad and the king of the city of the Seraphim and Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwells between the cherubim, you are the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, and thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. I can't pronounce that word, but it's a tough one. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations of their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, even you only. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas you have prayed to me against Sir Nacho Chip, whatever his name is, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you and laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at you, whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And again, whom hast thou exalted thy voice? And against whom have you exalted your voice? And lifted up your eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel. By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, By the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the heights of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice trees thereof, and I will enter into the heights of the border, and the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drank water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. Hast not thou heard long ago how I have done it, and the ancient times that I have formed it? How have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste defense cities into ruinous heaps? Therefore their inhabitants were of small powder, and they were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, and the grass of the housetops, and as corn blasted before it would be grown up. But I know your abode, and your going out, and your coming in, and your rage against me. Because of your rage against me, and your tumult is come up into my ears, therefore will I put a hook in your nose, and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way by which you came. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year such as grows of itself, and the second year that which springs of the same. And in the third year sow you, and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way he came, by the same way shall he return, and shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Shahrazar, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Whew. A lot of words. Let's go back and break it down. There's sections of it, or I'll break down those sections, are pretty well where they should be. Okay. It came to pass when King Hezekiah, we know, is Yahweh is my strength. Okay? And when he heard it intelligently with the intent to respond. The word there is shama. And he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth. Sackcloth represents what?
Humility.
Humility. So he humbled himself and went to the house of the Lord. When we humble ourselves and go to the house of the Lord, we don't have to travel anywhere. It's internal. God, see, doesn't even live in this body. He lives in the spirit inside of this body. So we don't have to travel. We just have to, it's all up in between our ears. Okay, and he went to Eliakim, and the word Eliakim means God sets up. Okay? Who was over the household, and Shebna, who is now, his name means who now is a captive, the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with themselves with sackcloth, humility again, and they went to unto Isaiah, and what's Isaiah mean? Yahweh has saved or delivered. The prophets, okay, the inspired speak men, the son, that word is bane, which means to build a son. The word bane is a Hebrew word that means, it's bane, comes from the word bana, I believe. Anyway, it means to build a son is what it's really getting to. And what's he doing with us? Building the son up in us. That confidence we talked about earlier. The son of Amaz, which is strength. The son of strength. Who is strength? Our Father. He's the Father, you know, and he represents God, the Father. And they said to him, thus saith Hezekiah, the day is a day of trouble and of rebuke. Okay? Trouble and rebuke. Do you know what the word trouble means? It's the Hebrew word tsara. It's 68, 69 in Strong's, and it means a female rival. It's a day of trouble. How about our soul? How about the female side that we got to wrestle with? This is a day when we got to wrestle with our soul. And of rebuke or correction, and of blasphemy. Okay? And this word blasphemy, does anybody really know what it means? We hear that word all the time, but we need to understand what it means when you hear it. Because we've been tainted with most of our views from the church system about what they say it means without it there ever knowing. But this word blasphemy means to defy or to resist authority. When you, it's blaspheming God when we deny or resist His authority. See? And we can take that into the natural realm about all kinds of things, but they say if you say the wrong words that you're blaspheming God. That's not what it's about. See? Take the Lord's name in vain. That's not what it's about. It's about defying His power and authority. Okay? Because the children or the sons are come to birth and there is not strength to bring them forth. And see, that's where the church world is. They've birthed many sons. They've put them in a place where they're ready to be birthed. But when it comes to the time to feed that baby and to continue it growing for a season until it comes to maturity where it can be an independent, productive member of society, they don't have the ability to do that, do they? They don't have the food to feed it, the nourishment, the encouragement, or the love to give because they don't have it themselves. Okay? And it says, verse 4, it may be, or it should say perhaps the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh. Okay? He's that messenger sent from the carnal mind, whom the king of Assyria, which is the carnal mind, his master has sent to reproach what? To reproach what? The living God. I'm going to tell you, we're not talking about God the Father here. Who is the living God?
Christ.
We are. The people on this earth are the children of God. We are the living God on the earth. We're the ones living on the earth, aren't we? This word right here is not Yahweh for Father, God the Father. This is Elohim. Elohim is the plurality of God, the many sons of God. It's the first fruit. So who is being reproached on the earth? Do you think God can be reproached, really?
No.
that's almost funny to think that a human being could sit and throw rocks at God and intimidate God in any way. See, God can't be reproached. We can be. People can reproach us, and that's the ones he's talking about because it's all happening in here. It's not happening out external. It's internal. So that Rabshakeh in your head is coming and tormenting you every day. That's the message is sent from that carnal mind. Every day. The accuser of the brethren, right? And he said, and he will, what? Reprove. Maybe he'll hear what he's doing, and he'll reprove or literally correct the words which the Lord thy God has heard. He said, therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. He said, maybe he'll correct those words where he's blaspheming God, saying them bad things about him, just denying his authority and power. You know what? God's not going to change those words. Those words have a mission they're on. Those words are said to us. Those attacks that come against us are sent by God to make us grow up, to make us realize words can't hurt us, only if we choose to let them. Okay, if we choose to let that word in my mind and let that thing crush me, it's my choice, isn't it? But if I choose to believe what God said, I'm going to let it bounce off. I don't care what they say. And that's where we have to come to.
Like lifting weights.
Yeah.
God sent that program to lift weights. And like in the natural, you get stronger lifting weights.
Yep. That's all it's doing, making you stronger. That's all it is. The opposition makes you stronger. But he said, lift up a prayer for the remnant. Do you see where the focus is?
Remnant.
It's on the remnant, the first fruit. So the servants of Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Even the king knew there was a remnant. Okay? Even the natural king knew there was a remnant. And Isaiah said to them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou have heard. Hello? Be not afraid of the words you've heard. Those things that accuse you every day, what should you do with them?
Tell them shut up.
Slap that in the mouth and tell her to shut up, right? Don't pay attention to those words. If you heard what God said, then you shouldn't be paying attention to the other one, should you? Just let them go. Let them roll off like water off a duck's back. Wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me, or denied his authority and power, or resist his authority. Okay? Verse 7 says, behold, I will send a blast. And that word blast is not really blast. It's not even in the language in any way. That's just King James. What it says, I will send a spirit. It's the word ruach, 7309, spirit. I'll send a spirit not upon, but into. Okay? He's going to send a spirit into him, and he shall hear a rumor. He's talking about the king of Assyria, the carnal mind. And he will return to his own land. Didn't he say, when you die, the dust returns to where? And the spirit returns to God who gave it. So he's telling you right here, don't worry about what happens in the flesh. It's all going to pass away, isn't it? It's all going to go back to the dust. He said, he'll return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by what? The word of God in his own earth, is what it should say. Not his own land, but his own earth. So here's where it's going to perish, right where it came from. The carnal mind came from the dust of the earth too, didn't it? So guess where it's going to perish? In the dust of the earth. So what have we got to worry about? I don't have to worry about carrying any remnants of this stuff over into the next realm, do I? Because the dust goes back to the earth and the spirit goes back to God, who is spirit, and nothing but spirit enters into that realm. I'm not carrying anything in this realm. I've learned something in this realm. That's what this realm is all about. It's not the it's not the beginning, it's not the destination, but it's the journey that trains us and teaches us and reminds us and makes us remember what we've had with God since before the foundation of the world. We got to see this. That's what brings the confidence. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring the carnal mind at who it is, warring against Libna. You know what Libna means? Righteousness. White or righteousness. So why wouldn't the carnal mind be warring with righteousness? That's his job, isn't it? Can we be upset with him for doing it? That's what he was put here for. That was his purpose. Just like a dog barks and a cat meows. That's just what they're made to do. He said, because he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. The word Lachish literally means invincible. See, the carnal mind, and we're going back and telling a story here. Adam departed from the Garden of Eden, didn't he? And see, this carnal mind, this carnal man, departed from God's ways, and in Isaiah 6, he said, I'm going to do it my own way. I'll be like the Most High God. I'll sit in the sides of the north. I'll be like the Most High God. See? Here it is. He's talking about it again. And he heard say concerning Tirhaka, and Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia. Tirhaka means to search out all. Searches out all. And see, the darkness or the carnal mind searches everybody. The thing that we have in a carnal mind is not literally our enemy, but actually the best ally we have in bringing us to maturity. Because if it doesn't challenge us with the Word of God, against the Word of God, will we believe the Word of God? You think you'd believe it if you're not challenged in it?
It's our touchstone.
It is our touchstone. So we've got to realize that the carnal mind is not to be done away with, but to disrespect it in what it's saying to us, disbelieve everything it tells us. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, push it aside. Just push it aside. Don't eat that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay? It said, he has come forth to make war with you. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying. Now, the word messenger there is malak, the same one they use for angel. So you think the carnal mind sends angels? If you do away with all those little floaty things and wings and stuff like that, and sheets and stuff, halos and stuff, and get back to reality, it's messengers or thoughts that the carnal mind is sending. And you won't have that duality thing going on. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah. Let not your God, and this is coming back and coming against God again, that carnal mind. Let not your God, in whom you trusted, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. See? Now, you know what that word Assyria means there? Successful. Have you ever heard this statement? Don't argue with success. See? And that's what he's trying to tell you there. See, it's a reasoning. It's a carnal reasoning. Don't argue with success. The king of Assyria, the carnal mind, has destroyed everybody, hasn't he? Do you think you're going to get away from it? That's the reasoning. That's the reasoning in our carnal mind. Boy, that sounds bad, don't it, Mike? Man, he's already whipped everybody else in the country. He'll probably whip me too. And that's exactly where he wants you to go. But no, it's not going to happen. God said it wouldn't, so we don't worry about it. Okay. Behold, verse 11, you have heard what the kings of Assyria, it says, have done to all the lands, destroying them utterly, and shall you be delivered? Huh? You think you can get away from me? Carnal mind thinks they've got it wrapped up. Have the gods of the Gentile nations, it should say, of the Gentile nations, delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? Goes on, which means cutting off. Haran, which means parched or a hot place. Resaph, which is hot or a red hot strong coal. And the children of Eden, okay, the children of pleasure, which were in Telazar, which is duality. He said, have any of them got away from me? No matter what you're doing, the carnal mind's there, isn't it? Right there to get you. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arphad? Hamath is a walled city. Arphad is a spread out. And the king of the city of the Seraphim, and Hena, and Iva. And Hena means trouble, and Iva means ruin. So he said, all this, no matter what's in your mind, I'm in control of it all. I've took control. I've overpowered everything. And the carnal mind will overpower if we don't get back into our right thinking. It'll overpower everything you do. It corrupts good manners or good lifestyles. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, the malachs, you know, and read it. And Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, now he's going to be totally honest here. And Hezekiah is you, okay? O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwells between the cherubim. See, he's still seeing God in a different light. He didn't see him sitting on a throne high and lifted up yet. He still saw him between two cherubim. External. He saw him external, but he saw him concealed between the two cherubim. See? Still an external God. And we got to get that reversed. We got to get it and realize it's internal. You are God, even you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. He said, you've made the whole thing. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of whatever his name is, Sir Notrachab or whatever he is. And which was sent, not has sent, but which was sent to reproach the living God, which was us. These thought processes coming from our natural mind are sent to reproach the power and authority that God has placed within us. If you don't accept the power and authority of God, how can you be the power and authority of God in the earth? It's impossible, isn't it? That's the things we're not seeing. The church don't teach you that you have to realize you are what God said you are. He said you will, when he appears, you'll be just like he is, didn't he? As he is in this world, so are we. If we don't believe this, we will never walk that way. We can never attain in our carnal thinking. That carnal man has to be taken out of the earth. According to the New Testament, well, to the Gospels, we'll put it that way. To the Gospels, there's two men in the earth and one of them's got to go, right? Yeah. Okay. One of them's got to get out of there. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. Now see, that carnal mind told some truth there, didn't he? He'll convince you by showing you a little bit of truth. And if you don't do some research on your own, next thing you know, you'll be like all these denominational churches. They'll be buying into it. Oh, the devil's strong. Oh, the devil's powerful. He's going to take over the whole world. No, he ain't. Because he don't exist to start with. He's just a figment of your imagination.
If he's talking took over your world, he has took over the whole world.
Well, in your world, but that's what they do. They give it to him by talking. They give, they blow that big paper tiger up, you know. And have cast their gods into the fire. They cast their gods from the fire is what it is, not into it, but from the fire. You know, they take their metal and melt it down and form it and shape it into a whatever they worship, you know, some kind of god, a fish or a deer or whatever it is. You know, they make their own gods. It says, because they were not gods, but work of Adam. The word right there, men, is Adam. They were the work of Adam's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Because the carnal Gentile nations were not trusting in the power of the Spirit of God, but they were trusting in what they made up in their own king, in their own head. And they were idols, and that's why they get destroyed. And everyone else is going to get the same thing. The only thing is, by giving up your idols now, you have a much better reward than when you fight to the end. Give her up. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us or deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth not may but will know. Do you think God would do this just so they might know it? He did it so they will know it. Those doubt words are all over King James. But they will know that you are the Lord, even thou only. You're the only one. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, or whatever, Nacho Chip, I said, wasn't it? King of Assyria, and Assyria duality. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning the virgin, the daughter of Zion. The daughter of Zion has despised you and laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at you. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hath you exalted your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Even against what? What does it say? Those words aren't right. You get your Strong's out and look and see, because it's the saints. You have even against the saints of Israel. They changed that one good, didn't they? They put it back external again, see? Against the saints of Israel. By your hand thy servants have reproached the Lord, and has said, by the multitude of my chariots. Get this, I, me, my, and mine in here. My chariots am I come up over the heights of the mountains to the size of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars. You know what the tall cedars represent? First fruit. See, he said, I'm going to tear them down. I'll cut them tall trees down. Trees represent humanity. And them tall cedars are strong and stand in the highest parts of the mountain. That's us. Standing up there, taking all that the nature has to throw at you, and still grow strong and tall. That's us. Yes.
Is this, it was speaking here in 20, where Hezekiah was praying. And it says, then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah. So at that time, the Spirit of the Lord had to reveal this to Isaiah, because it doesn't send any messages.
Well, right. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to Isaiah, and Isaiah communicated back to him. They weren't sitting together. This could have taken place over days, maybe, before it come back around. Okay? Do you see that little...
Spirit.
The Spirit had to reveal it to him.
To Isaiah.
Absolutely.
Okay, and could you expand a little bit on the daughter of Zion here?
Okay, that's us. We are the bride of Christ, the daughter of Zion. Okay. See, we've reviled the king of Assyria, the king of Assyria, the carnal mind, and Rabshakeh. See, we've disrespected them. We're not listening to their words. Okay. There's a lot of context changes here from verse to verse. One will be speaking, another will be speaking, and it is confusing. Teddy, don't think it's bad about asking. I'm glad you asked. In 21, you see that little backward P there? Do you have yours in there right by the number 21?
Uh-uh.
Okay, well, King James has it, and it shows you that there's a context change. See, from 20 to 21, there's another context. Sometimes they have it, sometimes they don't. They don't tell you all of them, but a lot of times they'll show you in here. In the King James, they do give you some things that's good, that context has changed. And here it's changed two or three times down this passage I was just reading.
It does it in the New American Standard, too.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The daughter of Zion, is that first fruit?
Daughter of Zion's first fruit. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, that's first fruit. Okay. Virgin doesn't speak of just not knowing a man, but it's knowing as pure before God. Okay? We're talking not natural, we're talking spiritual. And it said, they laughed you to scorn. They laughed at Senator Chad when he come around. So anyway,
we're at 24.
Okay, by your hand your servants have said these things. And look at, just start counting how many times I use the word my or I or something like that. I or my. He said, by the multitude of my chariots am I come to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, to the righteousness, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees, that's the second realm, like Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle, that's the next one down, thereof, and I will enter into the heights of the border, and this word border is enter into the heights of his space, and the forest of his what?
Carmel.
Do you know what the word Carmel means? It says a garden or a vineyard. He said, I will enter the forest of his. And what does a garden bring to your mind?
Garden Eden.
There you go, brother. He said, I'll go into the Garden Eden and take it over. That's the mind of Christ. You really think he's going to do that? That's the arrogance of the carnal mind. That's the arrogance of the carnal mind. He said, I have digged and drunk water with the sole of my feet. Have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places? I did it all myself. He's bragging. Have you not heard long ago how I have done it? And now this is God speaking, this verse. And of ancient times that I have formed it. Now have I brought it to pass that you should be to lay waste defense cities into ruinous heaps. God's saying, you're bragging, and I said a long time ago before you was even born that I was going to create you and bring you up for that very purpose to bring judgment upon these cities.
That kind of sounds like people would go to an altar and say, I got saved today.
Yeah, but he said, hey, God said, I created that thing up there, that king of Assyria, for that very reason. Just like it is to deal with us, to tear down these walled cities. And walled cities speak of religion internally. So God created his carnal mind to attack these walls and to tear them down and to take control of them. And when he gets it tore down, God can walk in and take over. He does his dirty work for him. Okay? Therefore, their inhabitants were of small powder, and they were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field. Didn't it say grass is like all flesh is grass? And as the green herb and as the grass on the housetops and as corn blasted before it grew up. The word corn should be grain. It's wheat. It's just the grain blasted before it's grown up. It dries up and doesn't produce anything. Just like he talked about over here in the third verse about the children coming to birth and there was not enough strength to bring them forth. The seed came, but it didn't grow to maturity. That's where we're at until we get hooked back into the power source that we really have from God. But I know your abode, you're going out and you're coming in, and your rage against me. Because your rage against me and your pride or arrogance, it should say, not tumult, is come up to my ears, therefore will I put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way by which you came. Who's in control? See? Even the carnal mind. God's in control. He created that carnal mind to bring us to maturity. He created an opposition for us, an opponent, an adversary for us to deal with. And that adversary does his job. He's very efficient at what God created him to do. But he's only for a season to bring us to that maturity, to make us look. Yeah, how many times do you get punched in the nose till you figure out some way to block that punch? How many times are you going to let him knock you down until you say, hey, wait a minute, there's got to be a better way. God's way must be better than mine because, you know, I just ask people, how's that working out for you, your own way? Is it working good? I mean, that's why the world's in such a mess. You know, they think their way's better than God's. Well, if it's working out for you, go for it, but it just didn't work for me.
Carnal minds are resistance, just like in weights.
It makes you stronger. That resistance makes you stronger. So he goes on and speaks here. Now, see, he's speaking to the carnal mind, and he's speaking to us here. And here he says, "And this shall be a sign to you." Not the carnal mind, but to us now. See, there's context change again. "You shall eat this year such as grows of itself." Whatever is provided is what you take. In our Passover experience, what do? We eat whatever they throw out to us, like a bunch of baby birds sitting in a nest, and mama just dropped something in, that was good. Don't know what it did to me, but it was good. It filled the hole up, you know. "And the second year, that which springs of the same." So he's saying, second year, you get the same thing. Whatever mama drops in your mouth, only this time you might do it with tongues and a little more emotions.
Okay? A
little paprika on it. Same thing with a little paprika on it. Okay. Dress it up. And he says, "In the third year, you're going to sow." And until we get to this third realm, to the Feast of Tabernacles, we're not going to do anything productive. We're just going to eat and make messes. Isn't that what babies do?
Yep.
They have to be cleaned up all the time, don't they? They eat and they make messes.
Top and bottom.
Top and bottom. And he says, "In the third year, you're going to sow something. You're actually going to take some of the seed that God put in you and put it back into the earth for somebody else. And you're going to reap from it. And you're going to plant vineyards. And you're going to eat the fruit thereof." Now that don't make you happy. Nothing should. Because he said, when you come to this tabernacles, you're going to learn to take care of yourself. You're going to be able to plant, to cultivate, to reap it in, and to make whatever you need to eat of. You're going to be self-sufficient. Now, that's not self-sufficient in yourself, but you're self-sufficient upon the God that's within you. Okay? It's the God within you. Now you have learned to be self-sufficient. And doesn't every parent want their children to grow up and be a self-sufficient, productive member of society? God wants nothing less from us. He wants us to be healthy, happy, prosperous members of society, His society, the kingdom of God. That's all He's wanting out of us. And didn't God say that He don't want your sacrifice, He wants your obedience? All we got to do is what God wants us to do. We don't have to jump through a hoop and rub our belly and pat our head and wink three times and all these patterns that they try to come up with, or ideas or formulas that this will get God or that will get God. God's already been God. You got all the God you're ever going to get. The day you were conceived, you got all the God you were ever going to get. Isn't that true?
Yep, it's got to tap into.
You just got to find the source. Find out where it's at. How much garbage have you got laid on your mind between you and the truth? You get that dust blowed off of it and you'll see how much God you've got. You'll be surprised.
Like the miner, you got to do a whole lot of sifting to find them nuggets.
You got to find them little nuggets of gold. Before long, you'll find the vein. When you find the vein, tap into it like the miners do. Tap into that big mother load or the father load, whatever you want to call it.
The load.
The load. Okay, verse 31. "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah." The word "escaped" is not correct. I don't want to shock anybody here, but I found a word not correct. It should be delivered. Okay? "The remnant that is delivered," and I can see where they got the word "escape," because when you're in a church system, you need to escape. "But delivered of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." He said, when you come out of that system, you are going, he didn't say you might, did he? Going to take root down and bear fruit upward, spiritual fruit. No longer are you going to be bearing natural fruit, but it's going to be spiritual fruit because it's upward. Okay? Verse 32, "Because out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape or are delivered out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this." You didn't get out on your own. The way you got out, you didn't escape. You were delivered by the what? By the zeal of the Lord of hosts, or the Spirit of God. He's taking you out of there. The only reason I came out, because God took me out. I can't take any credit and say, I made a decision that I was going to leave the church. No, God spoke to me and told me to go. I heard it. People say, oh, God didn't talk to you. Well, that's your opinion. I'm sitting on my tail. Verse 33, therefore, thus saith the Lord, concerning the king of Assyria, or concerning the carnal mind as we understand it, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. Guess what? Doesn't it say in the Revelation about the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from above, which we are, coming from the spirit realm? Where did God send his son from? Spirit realm to the earth. He came from the spirit realm to the earth. So he said, don't worry about it, because he can't come here. He can't even shoot an arrow at you, or put up shields with shields, or put a bank, a rampart against it, or come up over the protection of the wall or nothing. So what do you got to worry about? I think he said, fear not. Didn't he? See? There's nothing to be afraid of. Does that mean you won't be startled if somebody runs up behind you and says, boo? Well, you can be startled, but that's not fear, is it? Understand what fear is, not believing what God said. That's fear. You will be in fear if you don't believe what God says. Okay, verse 34. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, says the Lord. Hello? He said that carnal mind ain't going to affect your city. He can't attack you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it, see? Do you really believe it? If you believe it, there's no attack that's going to get to you. But you'll continue to grow in the ways of God. Because I will defend this city to deliver it for my own sake. That's God speaking. He said, I'm going to do it. Well, that's the end of that, isn't it? It's going to come in His time. And for my servant David's sake. It wasn't about David, it was about the Christ. David is a type of Christ. He said, I'm going to do it for my sake and the sake of my Christ, which is a many-membered body. End of discussion there. It's done. Then the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord, went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, there was all dead corpses. Now, there's a number in the middle of this thing that's amazing. And I struggled with this thing a long time until he just made it simple. And when God makes it simple, it's just so simple. 185,000. What's it mean to you? I'll write on the board up here. Show you. 185,000. Okay? That's what it is, really, isn't it? I did this the wrong way. Excuse me. Read that to me again the way it says it.
185,000.
85,000. Okay, here. I know what I did wrong. Do it again. 185,000. Okay? Them zeros don't have any value, do they?
No.
Okay. What's 185?
14.
14. What's 14? Passover.
Passover.
Now, when you understand that this 185,000 or 185 is representing Passover, look what just happened. When the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, that's the carnal mind, the duality. When he comes in there, what happens? When the angel of the Lord shows up, let me put it this way. When the angel of the Lord shows up in your mind, the messenger, what happens?
It kills
all the Assyrians.
That's just like the Passover, the death angel passed over.
The same thing where the death angel passed over and wiped out all the non-believers. The ones who weren't the firstborn or first fruit.
By the blood.
Yeah, and only the blood saved them, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It's the same story, put in a different light.
How did you get 14 out of
100?
One and eight's nine, and five is what?
14.
Gotcha. See it now? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Sir Nacho Chip, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. Remember what Nineveh is? It's agreeable. Okay? So, that Sir Nacho Chip, whatever I call him there, his name means sin multiplied brother, okay?
Which is the carnal mind.
Departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh, which is duality. Okay? Am I right? No. King of Assyria, which is duality. Departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh, which is agreeable. It's the capital of Assyria. Duality means you can't be sure of anything. Is that right? Double man is unstable in how many of his ways? So as long as I'm in there, I'm going to be agreeable with somebody because I just don't want any confusion. I just don't want any to stir anything up. And that's what religion has done to us. We're supposed to agree with whatever they tell us instead of challenging something someone speaks to us. What I'm speaking to you today, you've got the right to challenge that. You have an obligation to yourself to challenge it, to make sure that what I'm saying is true. Didn't Paul tell his people that, the Bereans? Search the scripture and see if what I say is true. That's just a challenge to us. And that's exactly what Paul did. And I'll tell you the same thing. You search it, you'll find the same thing. Because God doesn't speak out both sides of his mouth.
Don't stir the pot. They're saying, don't stir the pot.
That's what they're saying. Don't stir the pot. Just take it and go with it. See? And that's not true. Challenge it. Challenge anybody that speaks to you.
Swallow like an unclean beast.
Yeah, just swallow it down and go on. That's what they want you to do. That's what the carnal mind wants you to do. They arose early in the morning, and behold, they were all dead corpses. So when the messenger of God shows up in your life, guess what's going to happen to all those thought processes, all those Assyrians? They're going to be dead corpses. And they already are dead corpses.
You keep breathing life into them.
The only way they're getting life in them is if you breathe the life into them. If you want to believe the lies of the other man, the other voice that you hear, versus the voice of God. Like Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. If you listen to other voice, you're going to be putting life right back. That's John 10. They'll be putting life right back into those Assyrians. You'll be calling the rescue squad, 911 on them. Try to get them pumped back up. And it came to pass, verse 38, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch. Now, what is Nisroch? Nisroch is a Babylonian god they had. It was a Babylonian idol. It was a man with the head of an eagle.
Yeah.
Okay?
They use it in Egypt a lot.
They still use it in all their Egyptian stuff, that a man's body and the head of an eagle. Okay, and that's the worldly thing. So he was worshiping his god. And that Adrammelech, his son, and it says Adrammelech means the honor of the king. And Sharezer, means the prince of fire, his son smote him with the sword. Wonder what happened. So these sons started to hear something. There was honor of the king and prince of fire. And they finally heard something, and they took that word and they smote him. It killed the carnal mind. The only thing that'll kill the carnal mind is the word. Right? You remember that King David, when he was a little boy, killed the giant. Who was the giant?
Carnal mind.
Huh?
Goliath,
the carnal mind. But you notice the rock didn't kill him. The rock knocked him out. But the sword took his head. The sword took his head. And that made sure that the carnal mind didn't live. See? That's what we got to do. We got to take this word and cut his head off. See? Cut off that carnal mind. And they escaped into the land of Armenia. Do you know what Armenia means?
The curse is reversed.
The curse is reversed. You cut off that carnal mind. You know what you just did? You reversed the curse, and you will live in a place with the curse reversed. You see what I mean? You're going to live in there. And Esarhaddon, his son reigned in his stead. So that's just the means. That means Asher has given a son. So he got another son to take his place. What it's saying, just like Jesus when he was in the temptation, and when he finished the temptation, the devil departed him for a season. That means he came right back and tempted him after the refreshing. And it's the same thing he's saying here. They cut his head off, got rid of that one, but you've got to cut your own head off, don't you? In spiritual. You've got to cut off that carnal mind. You got to do it yourself. It's beautiful how this is, and when he can show you how it all fits together, it's just encouraging. But we've got to know how to use that sword. And it's not using it to chop people's heads off. It's to cut off our own thinking process in that natural process. Any questions?